this. Let's go. Good morning, everybody. Good. Hopefully we're working. Oh, we are. That's good. Excellent. We got Zach on sound, Isaac on sound today, so it's great with them. Just sounds brilliant. Welcome to everybody to Paignton Baptist Church Harvest Festival. It's great to see you here. Let's pray before we do anything else. Lord, we gather together today to say thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness, your love that keeps on giving, that is always faithful. Help us to understand more of your love today and how we can join in with you in loving others. Amen. Right, just a couple of notices. The next Saturday morning, we've got our last meeting before our church meeting about marriage and mission, sharing and praying. So we had an information morning about the Baptist Union consultation that's going on at the moment and marriage and mission. And we had information and we'd had some prayer and discussion. This meeting next Saturday morning between 10 and 11 is to pray, to share things that we feel God may be saying, things that are concerning us, and then to pray. Because we've got information, and that's fine, but we need God's revelation, and we need God's wisdom. I know a number of people are away, so that just gives an encouragement to everybody else. There'll be plenty of room. Do come, so we can pray together for God's guidance. So that's next Saturday morning between 10 and 11. There's not a Keep You in Touch this week, so if you can spread the word, 10 to 11 next Saturday morning. I haven't been given a notice about lunch. Joan, do you want to just say anything about lunch and whether there's availability for anybody to come who hasn't signed or whatever? I'll let you go to that one if you would. Yeah.
Good morning, everyone. After the service today, we have a bring and share lunch. And so if you'd like to come and join us, you'd be more than welcome. It's up in the activity centre. Someone will show you the way.
Well, that was short and sweet, wasn't it? We've got a lunch and you can come. Speak to this lady if you need more information. Thank you, Joan. Joan will be upstairs, so Debbie will be here. So if you need information, talk to Debbie behind the coffee counter. And but no, thank you. That's simple. Got a lunch, you can come. Great. That's really good. Now, something we've not done in the 5 years I've been here, and this is a great occasion, what we're going to do next. And if I might actually get you to stand up, so hold on a moment, not quite yet. The Boys Brigade that has a company here in this church has been going for 140 years. In fact, there's a service this afternoon celebrating their 140th anniversary. And the Girls Brigade has been going on for, not Angela, but anybody else know? Let's have a guess then. So the Boys Brigade's been going for 140 years. How many years has the Girls Brigade been going for? Don't tell her, Alison. Don't tell her. I've got a hand at the back. I can see the hand at the back. Oh, brownie points for Ruby. Excellent. So for 140 years, the boys have been anchored on Jesus. For 130 years, Jesus, through the cross, has been at the centre of the Girls Brigade. And we have two colours coming flags, colours, banners, different words you might use, but they're called colours. And they're the Boys' Brigade colour and the Girls' Brigade colour. And you'll see there's an anchor, there's a cross. After the service, do open them. They're going to be left here, so have a look at them. Because they're usually tucked in the corner here. So this is an opportunity to bring them in. And I'm just making it, but we might have an extended colour party here that Andrew might be making use of. No problem. So could we stand as we bring in the two colours? If we're able to, bring in the two colours. And we're going to start with the Boys' Brigade.
This is Dylan, who's leave the microphone on, please.
Dylan's going to be bringing in the Boys' Brigade colour. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our Boys' Brigade and our Girls' Brigade. We thank you for 140 years, 130 years. They have been helping girls and boys to know about you, Jesus. We thank you for them and their presence with us here. Amen. Do have a seat. So, today is our harvest festival, and we're going to be thinking about past, present, and future. Who's been to a harvest festival before? School? At church? Possibly? Right, quite a few, but not everybody. I am told, Andrew told me this last week, and I heard it on Songs of Praise, I think it was, the church festival, the harvest festival, originated in this country in Morwenstow, Cornwall, in 1483, when Reverend Robert Hawker invited the parishioners of his church into his home to receive the sacrament, Holy Communion, in the bread of the new corn. So the new corn that had been harvested turned into bread, and they celebrated communion. That's 1843. But harvest festivals have been going on a lot longer than that. The early English settlers into North America celebrated Harvest Thanksgiving. The Pilgrims, as we know, left Plymouth. They celebrated the harvest in 1621. So that's just over 400 years ago. But were there harvest festivals before that? Yes. For thousands of years, harvest festivals have been celebrated. As part of the giving of the law to Moses, the Ten Commandments plus everything else, when the Israelites had escaped Egypt, God told his people to celebrate three harvest festivals every year. Passover at the time of the barley harvest, 7 weeks later, Pentecost at the time of the wheat harvest, and then Tabernacles at the time of the general ingathering of all the crops and in the field and the fruit off the trees and everything else. And in Israel, Tabernacles, the feast of the ingathering, has just been celebrated. We've heard of all the trouble there is at the moment, came straight after the Feast of Tabernacles. God said, you must celebrate these things because I have given you a land, a promised land to come in, which is going to give you food and wine. So harvest festivals are time for eating and drinking. And that's God's idea, which is great. So that's why when we have harvest festival, we meet together and we celebrate by eating and drinking. And that's why we have a harvest lunch. And that's why we have this wonderful display. Can we have a round of applause for everybody who's contributed to our wonderful display? It was great to see the team on Friday and so on, putting stuff around, and just the place looks beautiful. And I know Claire would love to have been here. She was one of the team with Sue and Dawn and everybody else who put it together. But it's great to be here to remember what God has provided for us, not just in the last year, but in year after year. I won't ask who's the oldest person here, but I imagine we've got some 80 plus years of remembrance, haven't we? Someone's been here for at least 80 harvest festivals. So it's good. The 23rd of this month. So we should have to go and see her and say, right, tell us about your 100 harvest festivals. Thank you. Thank you. We remember God's promise for which the rainbow is a sign. Whatever else rainbows may get used for nowadays, the rainbow is a God-given sign of a promise of God. Who knows what the promise is the rainbow is there for? I'm looking at the children. I'm looking. Oh, that's right. Looking at adults. Yes, Taya. He would never flood the earth again. And he said, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. And so we give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And to lead us into our sung worship, just a couple of verses from Psalm 92. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. To the music of the 10-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. Now we've got a 12-string guitar, and we've got the melody of the piano, and we've got your voices, and we've got lots of instruments that are here. This is our opportunity to praise the Lord and make music to his name. Let's do that now. Feel free to grab hold of the instruments if you'd like to. Harvest festivals were meant to be exuberant occasions, and so this is your opportunity to be exuberant if you'd like to. For those who'd like to stand, please do. We plough the fields and scatter.
Thank you then, oh, oh.
of us have got a wheat field in our back garden. We may go out and about and see the harvest in the fields, but what does harvest mean really close to home? And this next song is all about the harvest that's right there in either our garden or the garden next to us. Cauliflowers, Fluffy. You play the whole verse, Leslie, just so we know what we're doing. Comes in all shapes and sizes. So we give thanks to the Lord our God. His love endures forever. For he is good. He's above all things. His love endures forever. God a King, His love endures forever. For He is good, He's above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, His love endures forever. That's been reborn, His love endures forever. Fill His praise, say praise, say praise, say praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God.
God is strong, forever God. God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us.
Thanks and praise to the Lord.
We thank you, Lord, for a beautiful day today. Thank you that we're alive and enjoying.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. We thank you, Lord, for all the work that's gone into making our harvest so beautiful in this church.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for everyone gathered here, from the very youngest to the very oldest.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name we praise you.
Amen.
For the display we can see in front of our eyes speaks of you and your wonderful love in creation and provision for our lives. Most of all, Lord, we thank you for providing Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord God, for all the many blessings that you bless us with daily. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that you are with us forever. In the good times and in the
difficult
times.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Amen. Well, we could be here all day saying thank you, and we would never run out of things to say thank you for. You are so generous to us. And thank you, Lord, that we can give to you. We can give to your work here, spreading the gospel. We can give to others, remembering your word that said that the least that you did for one of these, you did it for me. We thank you, Lord, that we can be part of your kingdom in our offering, in our giving. Amen. This is now the time, if you've brought things for the display, do bring them forward. In a moment, we'll take up our usual weekly offering. But first of all, if you've got some offerings, do bring them up. Thank you so much, and now you've got the opportunity to give even more as our stewards wait on us for our offerings. This is for the work of the church that God is doing. If you're visiting us with us today, don't feel you have to put money in, but if you want to give financially to the Lord's work, then feel free. That'll come later. So this opportunity now for we could take up our normal offering now, that'd be great. Thank you. Father, we cheerfully give to you, remembering your wonderful gift to us of Jesus. We pray that many will come to know Jesus through these gifts that are multiplied and sent out. Amen.
Amen.
It's great to be able to not really escape the platform because I've been surrounded by so much giving. Right, you didn't know today was going to be a school day, did you? Because it's Sunday. So we've got a quiz. We've got a quiz. Can we go on to our quiz, please? Thank you very much. So, we have been given so much. But what about people in other parts of the world? Today we've got an opportunity to learn about Uganda. How does God provide for people in Uganda? But first of all, we've got to think about what Uganda is. It's a country in Africa, but how much more do we know? So I know the answers, and you'll see the answers in a moment, but let's have the first question, if we may. If you can go on, Sheila, thank you. One more. Right. Now, this is a really good one. Which five countries border Uganda? So give me a suggestion. Gabon. Okay, I'll write that one down, yeah. What else we got?
Tasmania.
I think that might be south of Australia, actually. Tanzania. That's Tanzania. It's a good geography lesson today. So what else have we got? Andrew. Democratic Republic of Congo. What else have we got? Oh, Ian, sorry?
Mozambique.
Let me write that one down. Mozambique. Any other ideas?
Might be South Sudan.
Might be South Sudan. Right. One more?
Zimbabwe.
Right. And one more from Andrew, and then I think... Sorry?
Kenya.
Oh, very good. Okay, next question. How many languages are spoken in Uganda? Is it 57, 32, or 41? How many people think it's 57? How many people think it's 32? How many think it's 41? 41 is the vote for you guys. Okay. Next question. How many farmers in Gulu, which is the northern part... Oh, sorry, there's one back. Oh, yeah. That's the right question. Sorry, I've got something missing here. How many farmers in Gulu, which is northern Uganda... are being helped by BMS's partner, Justice Livelihoods Health? What percentage of the Ugandan population work in agriculture? So I got the question wrong. So lots of people in Uganda are involved in agriculture. What percentage do you think of the Ugandan population work in agriculture? 90%? 70%? 40%? Okay, right. Next question. JLH works through local churches in Gulu to assess the needs of farmers in the area. How many churches does JLH, which is BMS's partner, how many churches do you think JLH partners with? It's 15, 29, or 34. So how many churches do you think they work? Number 15. Who thinks it's 15? A few. 29, 34. Ooh, just 34, I think. And next question. Only three more left. Which of these foods would you see growing on a farm in Gulu? This is North Uganda. Which of these foods? Tomatoes, sesame seeds, onions, all of the above. That's the choices. So tomatoes. Who thinks tomatoes? Who thinks sesame seeds? Who thinks onions? Who thinks all of them? Oh, I reckon they're clever. Right, number six. Question six. Matoki. Can we have a word at saying that? Matoki. Oh, we can now speak Ugandan. That's not true, because there's so many languages. Who knows what language that was? Matoki is a famous and delicious Ugandan dish. What does it consist of? And note, it doesn't have all of the above on this one. Right? So, what does it consist of? Cooked and mashed bananas, a sauce made of peanuts, or porridge made of maize? So, matoki. Who's going for bananas, cooked and mashed bananas? A few. A sauce made of peanuts? A few. A porridge made of maize? Oh, that's definitely that. Right. And then lastly, last question. When you support Days of Plenty, which is the BMS appeal to help Uganda, you help farmers get fair prices for their crops through the... No idea how you pronounce this. Oh, thank you. Czech Sham, or Czech Cham, whichever way you want to go. So Czech Cham, Czech Cham. That's the Days of Plenty. Czech Cham. What does Czech Cham mean? So, three choices. Czech Cham means abundant harvest, provision, or storehouse. So, who thinks it's abundant harvest? Who thinks it's provision? And who thinks it's storehouse? Storehouse one, I think, just about. Okay, now we get the answers. This will be good. Move on, if you would. Thank you, Sheila. This is now the answers. You won't be able to see all those. I can tell you, four out of the five. South Sudan, Democratic Republic of Congo, Kenya, Tanzania, and there was one we missed. Rwanda. Which we heard about for all the wrong reasons many years ago. Next question. The answer was 41 languages. We got that one right. Yay! So that's our first fully right questions. We got four for the first one, and we got one now. Next one. Many farmers. What percentage in agriculture? 70%. We said 90%. I did set you up there. I said a lot of people. 70% of the population. So we didn't get that one. How many churches? The middle number, 29. We didn't get that one right either. We guessed 34. Next one, question five. Which of these foods? Tomatoes, sesame seeds, onions, all of the above. We got that one. Yeah. Now, the next one, matoki, is cooked and mashed potato. Who likes cooked and mashed potato? Bung with the barbecue. Bananas, sorry. Cooked and, not potato. Cooked and mashed bananas is what matoki is. So there we are, next time. Children, if you fancy bananas next time, tiki on the barbecue, really lovely with sugar and cream, say, can I have some matoki, please? Ian. Ian's eaten that, and it's not nice. No. So matoki is something really enjoyable. Okay, the last one, Czech Cham, means abundant harvest. That's what BMS, their partners JLH, are looking to do, is an abundant harvest. Wow. So, how does God provide a harvest for people in Uganda? Benon Kanyanja is the BMS worker in Uganda. And he tells us that God is providing for people in strange and unpredictable ways. He gives us this Bible verse. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Gulu in northern Uganda was at one time one of the country's biggest bread baskets because of its flat plains and fertile soils. One of the biggest bread baskets in Africa. But then there were 20 years of civil war affecting the region, and it destroyed Gulu's resilient communities. And that was then further complicated by climate change. The question of how to survive and look after a household, averaging 8 people, amidst the high rigors of life in Gulu, is often on people's lips. How am I going to manage? BMS asks these questions. How do we reverse the current challenges, and how can we make things different in a way that we do not lose Uganda's spirit of hard work and love? You don't just dole money out in situations, do you? You want to help people do things for themselves. And as Christians, how do we use Scripture, the Bible, to restore confidence? The verse I've just read from the book of John speaks volumes about the fact that while we're living in this world, we will have trouble. We will have distress. And distress comes in all forms, caused by unexpected crisis, adversity, or the daily pressures that we encounter in life. It's very hard to control the distress that comes into our life, but we can control how we respond to it. At the moment, it seems there is uncontrolled distress. That's the way the world sees. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. That's what the Bible says. But we do know that some seasons lose their regularity because of climate change, because of what's going on. Things, harvests don't always work out. It's happened in the past, and climate change is going to happen again in the future. We need to understand that what appears to be in the world as uncontrolled distress can be controlled by God. God is ultimately in control, and Scripture is clear that God is sovereign over everything. But despite God being in charge, we have something to do. God told us, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, I want you to subdue and look after the whole world. And we still now, as human beings, people, we have to look after God's creation as his stewards, made in his image. We need to work out positive situations, positive solutions to situations as they occur. In God's eyes, he says this, the days of the blameless are known to the Lord, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. That's a bold statement that God made. In times of famine, they will enjoy plenty. What does that look like? And we're going to have a video now that tells us something more about what plenty looks like in Uganda.
I'm Genesis Achai. I am an agriculturalist. I have been doing this work for 10 years, supporting rural farmers so that they can feed their families. And all of my life, I've lived in northern Uganda. Much as it looks green now, in the dry season, all this will be gone. Uganda is a very beautiful country with a lot of diversity, and it is always referred to as the Pearl of Africa. It has fertile soil, which provides a very potential ground for farming. I lived during the Civil War in Uganda, and it was very frightening. I remember in my school, we would sleep with windows open, and we would put our shoes on, just in case the rebel would come to abduct the students. So you could go through the window and try to escape from them, and that is how our life would be. During the war, people were living in internally displaced camp. The generation that were born during that time did not learn how to grow crops, so that knowledge was lost. And also with the climate change, The rainfall is very erratic and people don't know when to plant their seeds in the soil. We lost a number of people in northeastern Uganda due to famine because of crop failure. That was very serious because that used not to happen. The situation is heartbreaking and is affecting a number of people like Barbara.
I am a widow and I live with my parents and 11 children. Four of them are my own, but I also look after my sister's children after they got remarried. It is difficult to sustain the number of people living here, and my parents are elderly, so most of the responsibility falls on me. But I like sharing with the children. When we cook food, we sit down and we share. We tell stories. I really like that. My heaviest challenge is raising the money for school fees. Sometimes the children will be sent home from school because I did not have the money, so I was really worried. Another challenge is rainfall, especially last year. There was a prolonged dry spell and I suffered crop failure that greatly affected our production in the first season. There is the big difference in farming compared to when I was young and growing up. It is very unreliable. But if I don't farm, I have nowhere to get food. So that is how I get motivated to keep on working hard.
JLH has been supporting Barbara for the last 2 years since I've trained her on basic agricultural practices. She's provided with seedlings that she has been planting.
We were trained on a lot of different vegetable productions, and most importantly, we were very happy when we received the seeds because some people were not able to buy them. I also learned the correct time for planting watermelons and all the other vegetables through the training. When I plant my crops in the field and I see they're growing well, I feel happy and hopeful for what will come.
I believe that in the next 2 years, Barbara will become a model farmer and people will come to learn from her. We help people in a holistic way and we share our faith and joy in Jesus Christ. And this year, we invite you with us in a very special initiative to help farmers called Chakcham, that means good harvest.
We have been taught in the church that when crops are harvested, we should bank them together and sell them as one through our brothers in Chakcham. We are very hopeful because while other companies come with very low prices and force you to sell at their price, now Chakcham always gives us the best price in the market. Next year, I am planning to grow a lot of onions and I'm very confident because of the training. Now I feel very happy, but I want to do even better than what we see now.
This harvest, BMS and our local partner JLH will be doing all we can to support farmers in need. A gift of £12 could enable a farmer like Barbara to safely store and sell their crops through Chakcham. Please give what you can today.
Thank you, Sheena. So Barbara's a widow in Gulu, Uganda. She lives there with her parents and 11 children, only four of them her own. The uncontrolled distress of climate change, wildfires and famine have over time made it very hard for Barbara to raise these children, feed them and pay their school fees. The sense of disaster that comes to a widow considering how to support these 11 children must be immense. As we consider this verse, in times of disaster they will not wither, in days of famine they will enjoy plenty. We should be encouraged about God's plan and pushed into action for the vulnerable, like her. That's why BMS World Mission works in close partnership with JLH, who are so zealous to restore hope and give basic agricultural training and seeds to farmers like Barbara. As the seeds, these can't be easily bought by households that struggle to put food on the table. This commitment to help people finds itself nicely sandwiched between the integral mission approach to the transformation of lives that we see about Jesus. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We can follow Jesus. We can share our faith, and we can do good to others as God commanded. Our circumstances never tell the whole story. They only tell us what the humans see. But the eternal God is our refuge and always, always underneath are his everlasting arms. We're sure that Barbara and the other farmers in Gulu will be part of restoring the region's pride in being one of Uganda's bread baskets. This is a perfect example of how God can use even disaster to usher in good. Climate challenges to usher in days of plenty. So, God will provide for the people of Uganda through BMS and JLH and through us by giving and praying. You've got some envelopes with you here today. You can either put some money in later on today and put them in... that's right, Jean's been looked after, that's fine. Debbie Dorr, thank you. So we can give and we can pray. And you've got some envelopes with you today, which you can put something in today or bring them back either to Girls Brigade or Boys Brigade, or bring them back next Sunday or the Sunday after. We can put money in the hands of BMS and JLH, their partners, that, as you can see, gets to the people who need it. And we can also pray. And we're going to do that in a moment. How does God want to use us to do good, like Jesus did? Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every sickness and disease. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." We're going to sing a couple of worship songs now that help us to think about the part we can play in doing good, like Jesus did. Let's start with "Beauty for Brokenness."
For the rabbit.
Please stay standing because we're going to do our next song. You may think, what can I do? It's just little me. But the ways of the kingdom are that just the littlest of us can pray and change the world. So our next song is Our God is a Great Big God. And this world needs a great big God. And you'll see the line, how amazing that we're part of his plan. And that's exactly the point. So let's sing this. And we often sing this very bouncy and joyful, and we can do that. But this means something. Okay, let's sing.
Our God is a great big God.
Amen. Please be seated. So now we're going to pray, and we're going to use a prayer reflection video we've already seen. We've had a sample of, and she is going to put it on for us. And as each slide comes up, there's a scripture, and then there's a prayer. We can pray together using these words. So, Sheila, if you could put that on for us, that'd be lovely. So there's no sound on this one. It's the next one, Sheila. That's good. So, in times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, there will be plenty. If we could pause that, Sheila. Thank you. Lovely. So let's pray. Lord God, you are polysensory. Let's go back. We'll get this right. We need to pause after each slide. We're learning how to do this. So we'll go back a bit if we may. Can we go back to the beginning? If you go back to the previous one, then we'll start again. That's it. We're there now. So this is the scripture that we've heard. So let's say this together. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. We've got time to think about the words each time they come up. So you press that play button, Sheila, and then it'll come on. And then we can pause it afterwards. Now pause, thank you. Lord God, you are the one who upholds the poor, cares for the needy, and comforts the weary. They press play each time. That's it. Thank you. And now pause. Thank you. We praise you that you come alongside families like Barbara's in Uganda, and give us this opportunity to help them. Thank you. We pray you will protect farmers in Gulu from the threats of poverty and climate change. Please enable their children to grow up healthy and safe. Help them to earn what they need to pay for urgent medical care and for school. Help us to give generously, trusting in your promises and plans. Thank you that through gifts given at harvest time and the work done by Genesis and his team, generations in Uganda will be blessed. Lord God, you sent your Son Jesus that we might have life and have it to the full. We marvel at the picture of heaven you describe as a banquet feast where no one goes hungry. We pray that this harvest, families like Barbara's in Uganda and across the world would experience the abundant life made possible by your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You'll be able to hear more about Gulu and your Uganda when Victor and Caroline come here on Saturday the 28th of October for a presentation and tea. That's where they're going to be placed next in the next year. This couple we've been supporting for many years here, and they're going to be moving there in the new year. So they'll be finding a lot more about them. So we've had the harvest of the past, what God's done for us. We've got the harvest that is happening right now and is being cared for and provided for now. And now we're just going to finish with the harvest of the future. Could you come up, ready to do your reading, please, Taya? Thank you. We not only think about the past harvest, the present harvest, but we think about the future harvest. And it's not just a food and drink, but it's a spiritual harvest. Jesus often used the picture of harvest, like we see on the screen at the moment, to explain things about God's kingdom. And he told one particular story about weeds. And we've all seen weeds, and we know what weeds do. And Ted, thank you.
Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seeds in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds amongst the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servant came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seeds in your field? Where then the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them out?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvester, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be buried, and then gather the weeds and bring it into my barn.'" Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seeds in the Son of Man, the field is the world, and the good seeds stand for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil ones, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and buried in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out his kingdom, everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them in the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Whoever his is, let them hear."
Thank you, Taylor. At the end of the world, when Jesus comes back, he wants to bring everyone in. You can see that harvest field that's on the screen now. He would love the whole world, everybody, to come into heaven with him. A beautiful crop of wheat. But he knows that in the world, there are all sorts of people who do evil. We just need to, well, we've heard it on the news the last couple of days. There has to be a separation, Jesus says, of those who want to do good and those who want to be with me in heaven and those who don't. So everybody has to make a decision. Do I want to be with Jesus or not? Do I put my faith in Jesus or not? If we refuse to believe in Jesus, come to Jesus, obey Jesus, we can't enter heaven. But if we do, if we say yes to Jesus, then what we heard a few weeks ago from the prophet Isaiah describes the sort of party that there will be in heaven. "The Lord their God will save his people on that day as a shepherd saves his flock. They will sparkle in his land like jewels in a crown. How attractive and beautiful they will be. Grain will make the young men thrive and new wine the young women." And just in case you're feeling left out there, because it's talking about young men and young women, the last couple of verses of Psalm 92 we read this morning. "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God.
They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him." We would not be able to celebrate harvest without declaring the future harvest. Do you want to be in God's harvest field? Do you want to be at God's wonderful harvest festival, to be all harvest festivals? It's a challenge for each one of us, young and old. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your great love that deals with our past. You forgive us. Deals with our present. You're right here now, caring for us. And you also deal with the future. You prepare a place for us in heaven with you when we put our faith in you. Lord, I pray that for everyone here, they will hear your voice calling them, "Believe in God, believe also in me." In my Father's house there are many rooms, and I will go and prepare a place for you, and then I will come back and take you to be with me where I am. If I wasn't going to do it, I wouldn't have said it. Lord, help us hear your invitation to come to you, saying sorry, saying thank you, receiving your gift of life. Because, Lord, we want to be with you forever. Amen. We have an opportunity now to sing a song, Looking Forward. It's our last song. Feel free to get the instruments out again. This is a song about looking forward to the day that Jesus is coming.
Tell me why do you love so?
as you join with him in bringing in the harvest by the word of Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.